This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 44 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. Today we chat with Phantom Blue and Slave Sherry. Here's our hosts Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome back to another edition of the Kinky Cast. The studio is full today, Beast.
Yes, we have special guests with us, and we are lucky to have them. We have Phantom Blue, who is a retired title holder, and his lovely slave, Sherry, with us. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Sherry, don't be afraid.
Hi.
Hi.
We don't bite unless asked.
Blue, tell us about your journey. How did you get to where we are today, besides in a car and down the highway?
Besides in a car on the highway. Well, I started out early in life, actually, with Slave Sherry. We were together for about 6 years, married for 7 years. I believe it was 7 years. You have to talk too. We had actually some problems, so we had split up and gone our separate ways, and I went full force into the lifestyle and ran across a contest called the North Carolina Leather Contest. Elka was the producer at the time, and it sounded like a lot of fun, and I didn't know anything about contest, and being who I am, I was like, it sounds fun. I'll do it. I'll see what's out there and just try to introduce myself to the community, not being aware of what it actually was to be a title holder.
Surprise.
Right. So I decided to run. That was in North Carolina and Charlotte. And the feeder group for the North Carolina Leather Contest happened to be Southeast Leather Fest. So when I ran for the North Carolina Leather Contest, I made it quite clear. I did not want to run for Miss NC Leather, because all I was seeing was girls in corsets and dresses, and I was like, that's not me. That's really not. I identify as gender queer, and so I decided that I might not want to be running for Miss, but if I could run for Mister and show that side of me, I would do it. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm all for that. So, and then I won, and then I was like, God, crap, now what?
Now you're on the hook.
Now I'm on the hook. So I actually started putting presentations together and going out in the community and thinking I could bring more to the community about me and myself and what I stood for. And what I found was I was being more educated than I was educating. Every time I went to a group, I learned something new from individuals or that group or that area. So it really became a learning process for me as well. And then the next year, because it was a feeder group for Southeast Leather Fest, I really started looking into what the contest was about and who were the members of the Southeast title family. One of them was Miss Betty, who happened to be the den parent for the North Carolina Leather Contest. And she was the den parent the year that I ran for the North Carolina leather Contest.
What I'm hearing is these leather contests are not unlike Miss America in the fact you have this whole support system going on behind the scenes to help the contestants.
Right. There are people backstage that actually that help you along and try to make sure you look your best and are there to calm your nerves. Make sure you're not frantic about the judges or being interviewed, because a lot of times you will get those nerves about, oh my gosh, what are they going to ask me? Or is it going to be something hard about what happened in 19, who held the title in 1979 and what year and what they did? And you really don't, the judges are going to ask you.
And the judges are pretty wide open in what they can.
Correct. I tend to find that most of the judges, particularly in the contest around the Southeast, have ran for titles or been a title holder and have usually beat the path and and know what you're going through when you are actually in sitting in front of them. So it's really not that bad. It's actually like a conversation we're having now. They just want to know a little bit about you, what you stand for, what your platform is, and try to understand you better and how you want to represent whichever title you are running for.
So what platform were you running on for the self-title?
For the self-title, you know, I really didn't have, per se, a platform. I thought I did not have a platform because I really stood for the LGBT community and things like trying to bring education to the area about, you don't really find in pansexual areas lesbians and queers coming to pansexual events.
We do have that great divide.
There was a divide, and I found that I was going to a lot of pansexual events being the only genderqueer or lesbian there, or however you wanted to look, however the pansexuals were looking at me. I was the only one that was had a same-sex partner. And a lot of times they would ask me, well, you know, do you play with men? Some people had the impression that just because my sexual preference and my relationship preference was a woman, I wouldn't play with a man. So that I wasn't really, you know, getting that kind of...
You were being put in a very small box.
Yeah, I was put in a box. And people are looking at the box going, well, what do we do with this box? How do we act around it? And that's the education I wanted to bring. The other thing was after I found out for Southeast Leatherfest, there are rules to the... Each contest has rules and regulations you do have to follow.
Right.
Before I ran for Southeast Leatherfest, I found that the Mr. Contestant in the rules, which had been written many years ago, obviously 20 years ago now, that it said you had to be a biological male to run. So that totally wiped me out right there.
You were not biological, so they did a rule rewrite to come into the new age.
Not just for me. I had actually decided that I talked to Elka, the producer of NCLC, and I was like, I don't feel comfortable running in a Miss position, but because it is a feeder group and I took this responsibility for NCLC, I will run for Miss. I just will not feel comfortable. And I was back and forth on that. And they had discussed it among the board that year at SELF, you know, how can we make this possible for others to open up to others going forward? So they did reconstruct and change the format of the contest regulations that as long as you identify, you can run for the Mr. category. So it opened up a whole new world.
Which is coming into the new age where we are realizing the fluidity
right.
of gender. It's not what you're born with, it's who you are.
Right. And in this community, it tends to follow that there are so many individuals. There's littles, there's fuzzies.
Furries.
They're very fuzzies.
And they're cuddly and they're warm and they're a flashback to the CSI episode about the furries and
right.
Yeah.
There's different aspects of every community. It no longer depends on what you're born with, but what you feel comfortable with in this community and who you really are. So after they changed that, I was all for it.
And this SELF helped move this change forward in the larger Southeastern community, I think, with this policy change.
In my opinion, I believe they did. I honestly, truly believe that at SELF, it really helped the move forward. At the same year that I run, Tyler McCormick had actually just won the International Mr. Leather. It was the same year. So there was a lot of controversy over his win. Because
and for our listeners, give a little bit of background there, because we have a lot of very new listeners. This is their exposure to the broader history of kink.
Tyler McCormick was actually born a biological female.
Okay.
So
he'd been living as a male.
Right, correct.
And he had identified as a male.
He had already transitioned into male, and a lot of people looked at that, or some people looked at that as, can he really run for IML when it's, there was nothing in the rules, but because the contest for so long had been that way.
Tradition bound,
that it was the first time, and I don't actually think that was the first time someone that had transitioned had ran for IML.
First time they won.
But it's the first time they had won. So it kind of pushed those, we need to make changes. Just because the things had worked in the past, they're not working now because of so many changes with the generations that have came forward.
Now, are you seeing that this is, I know we still have at SELF, we still have a woman's only party, we have a men's party, and we have a pansexual party, right?
Correct.
Are we seeing those numbers shift around as far as party attendance?
I think each party has its own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's switching. It's definitely, there's still a lot of great energy in every dungeon.
Oh, yes.
It just depends on what you want to do. So yes, there's something for everybody.
I want to be a fly on the wall in the woman's dungeon just to sample the energy and the excitement.
Even if you were a fly, you have a penis, so you might get swatted.
I know. I know. So that's unfortunate. But anyway, just to sample it. But now we go out in the broader community, and most of the parties are pansexual still. Are we seeing a shift on how the transgender, the genderqueer, are treated at these parties? Are they becoming more comfortable?
I have always felt comfortable at these parties. You have to feel comfortable in your own skin.
Well, and you definitely have that confidence.
Right. So it's hard for me to determine if I truly believe, in my opinion, it is being shifted on how we look and questions that we ask and the education that our other previous title holders, like Boy River for one, has yes. brought tremendous output. And shown the community. There have been several others, not just him, but I'm naming him because he was a Southeast Leather and, title holder.
And his transitional.
Correct.
Has been such a public.
Right.
Because he was holding a title at the time of the process and all that. And that caused a very positive, I think, conversation to occur.
Right. And also Optimus Prime from last yes. year as well. I mean, it's actually getting out there, and it's not just SELF, but SELF is family to me. So I always bring forth our title holders that have represented us and what they have brought to the table and what their platforms have been. And it's definitely, the word is definitely getting out there. There are changes and that there are more people that it's piquing their interest. Okay. This is how we're supposed to treat people. This is how they feel
people.
Comfortable.
People.
Correct.
Let's take the gender identities out and be humans. And we're all are humans. And we bring, special, unique gifts and talents and thoughts and energy to every event.
Right.
And to eliminate, in my opinion, to eliminate a segment just because of biology is a great shortcoming.
Right. And so my kink is not somebody else's kink, but I still want to know about that kink. I still want to know them as a person. I want to know what you bring to the table and what your concerns are and how you feel about things and how you want to be treated.
Well, leather goes, for most people, I believe, leather goes far beyond the sexual act.
Correct.
The sexual act is this small portion in the grand scheme of things over in the corner. I see Sherry over there nodding her head up and down. You identify as leather also, don't you, Sherry?
I do.
And how do you see leather? Is it just about the sex, or is it much more than that?
I think it has very little to do with the sex. It's a tribe. It's a clan. You identify with each other. When people say the leather community, I've watched the leather community come together. If there's someone who needs help, people on the West Coast will raise up and help them, even if they've never met them. They just know that they're in the leather community. But I think all communities can do that. Leather doesn't just have the cornerstone on that. But you can be leather and never be having sex. So it doesn't have anything to do with it.
So this is different than the macrame society of America.
Yes.
there is a deeper bond here than just the wearing of leather.
I think so. If you talk to anybody in the leather community, they consider everyone's family. They're not your immediate family. They may be the distant cousins, but when you have a family reunion, it's still a family reunion.
And I have noticed that about leather events. And even if you aren't in your leathers, as Blue's not in leather today.
No, I'm actually in my tennis shoes.
But there is no mistake in the fact when you meet and interact, you're leather.
Thank you. Thank you. You
bring those intangible values to it. And I think there are certain intangible values that leather have about loyalty and community and mutual respect and dignity that goes with that. Tell me about you all, though. You're back together. Obviously, you're in the same room and you're not fighting. We have been blessed to have you in Nashville this weekend. Tell us about you all as a couple. I've heard some magical things about your interactions. And
I'll let Sherry start out on that one.
We have known each other 16 years. We were friends for a couple of years. Then we ended up married for 7. We try to have a dynamic. It was not working. We were both not happy because we couldn't get to where we wanted to be in the dynamic. We didn't understand why we couldn't get there. We split up for 6 years. Blue exploded onto the BDSM scene and gained lots of knowledge and grew into his own skin. And then we crossed paths and... As they say, the rest is history. We reconnected. We realized our connection was still just as strong as it was when we split up. I spent 6 years convinced that I really hated him.
So you had to eat just a hair of crow there.
Well, you know, if 6 years later you still actively hate someone, you're probably not, over them.
Probably not.
There's probably still some underlying feelings going on there that you're not acknowledging. We are in a place now to where our dynamic, we both grew. We did what we needed to do to be here now. We were too immature, not very young, but we were too immature. Couldn't get to where we wanted to be. We knew where we wanted to be. We just didn't know how to get there.
So you're back together now?
We are back together now.
For how long?
I feel like we haven't even been apart, honestly.
5.5 months.
5.5 months, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like we just had a bump and we were on vacation.
It's confusing. Yeah, when we talk about something, I'm like, don't you remember this? No.
For our listeners, you came together and actually brought two families together.
We did.
And so you both have kids.
We do. We have 3 children between the two of us.
How does that work in a situation like this where you are actively a slave, and your family knows about it?
Our children know about it, yes.
Okay. Anybody in the extended family?
My parents do not know, but my mom has always called me a 50s housewife, that I was born in the wrong era. So.
Subservient?
Yeah. So, and she doesn't get it, but she's like, you should have been born in the 50s. When we got back together, all of our children are adults now. The youngest one, we actually got back together in time to watch him graduate high school together instead of being glaring at each other from opposite sides of the auditorium. And we decided since he was legally an adult, we weren't going to do the how do we do this and hide it from the kids. We have pretty open relationships with all of our children. We just told them, and I'm sure they think that we're crazy, but what, kids don't think their parents are weird and crazy? So.
I was about to say, how did that go?
It went okay. Our youngest one is actually, we think he's very curious about it. Our daughter will ask questions, but then she really doesn't want you to answer, because when you answer the question, she's like, oh, I don't need to know this about my mom. And our oldest one, he's always, he's our quiet, standoffish kid. He doesn't care. As long as we're not nagging at him to do something, he doesn't care what we do.
You're on the road a lot, taking your kink to different cities and things like that. So you are away from home from time to time. So they probably wonder where you go.
They do. our youngest still lives with us, so he know we tell him where we're going because he usually has to dog sit for us when we go. I talk to my daughter every day, and she'll ask, "Well, where are you going this weekend?" And I said, "Well, I'm going here." "Well, what are you going there for?" And I'm like, "For one of those parties you don't want to know about." And she says, "Okay, I don't need to know no more. Be safe." Because we are traveling a lot. We're on the road 3 weekends out of every month.
You're safer traveling with Blue in a relationship with you than you would be going to a club by yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I'm received differently traveling. I was showing up at all these events by myself as a brand new person. You're a little guarded around brand new people. You have to be because so many people cycle in and out. But I'm like extended this welcome because I'm with Blue. When I went to SELF last year, that was actually my first SELF, and I volunteered. And I told him, I said, you know, I want to volunteer. I want to do it on my own. I want people to get to know Sherry, not Blue Slave, so that I could establish my own identity.
Let's switch the question over to Blue. So how was it coming out to your kids?
It was actually fairly easy. We communicate really well together. I'm always honest and open to him. Not, you know, oh, we did this and this and this. But if he has questions, I've always tried to inform him of things that he needed to know. And it's actually being in this kind of lifestyle and in this situation, it's actually made our communication a lot stronger. And actually, when I first decided to run for SELF and the category of the Mr. category was not an option at that time. And I was thinking, you know, I cannot do this. I cannot run for the Miss category. And then I had decided, well, because it's a feeder group, I will run for Miss because that was what I had agreed to do on the terms as a feeder group is to run for SELF the next year. He stood up to me. It was, he had decided, he came in the room and he's like, "You're running for Miss?" And I was like, "Yes, because that is what I agreed to do under these terms and under this contract for the North Carolina Letter Contest. That was the next step, is to run for SELF." And he was like, "Mom, listen, I have dealt all my life with you, you know, coming into school looking like a man and people thinking you're my father and you standing strong. So why would you compromise yourself?" And I was like, "You have a very good point."
So that must have been a real moment when that came together.
It was a turning point.
Mm-hmm. And how old was your child then?
He was 15.
So 15-year-old child is really encouraging you to be who you want to be.
Correct.
And isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Sometimes the eyes of the children see you for the real who you are.
And his eyes have totally opened. Like, he's not, all of our children are very open-minded to everybody. Like, when Wilford first came on, it was the guy that looked like a dog. Instead of saying, "There's a show where a guy dresses up and it's a dog," he was like, "Oh my God, there's a show about furries now." So it was kind of like, "How do you know about furries?" He's like, "Well, you know so-and-so, and they're a furry." So he's very open to it. He doesn't close-mindedly look at somebody and say, "Oh my gosh, that's just crazy." He understands that there are different people that have different needs and desires. He doesn't make assumptions about if you're standing there in a furry outfit, he's not going to think you're crazy.
Wouldn't it be amazing if everybody was that open?
It would. And when questions come up, he had a lot of friends in school that obviously knew that he had a mother that looked like a guy, and he had two mothers. And Sherry has always been around for Caleb, whether we were apart together. So he actually, kids would come to him and be like, "You know, I think I'm this." And he would bring them home and say, "You need to talk to my mom, or you need to talk to somebody that's going to understand who you are before you make a decision to kill yourself or go into depression." So he's always been very open-minded. And I've learned a lot from him, too. Him not really having a father figure, let's just face it. I don't have the real parts, so I don't usually know what boys growing up need. And I've learned a lot about him growing up as well. He came to me a couple of years ago. There's a program called 1,000 Ways to Die. And evidently they had an episode about pro-doms. Something had gone wrong. A guy was in latex and evidently had a latex reaction and had died. And it was explaining this on 1,000 Ways to Die about this horrible death from a pro-dom this gentleman had had. And it just happened to be that episode my son and I were watching. And I was having to stop it every few minutes and be explaining, okay, there's safe words for this and reasons behind the latex allergies and what other options there were behind the latex. Because he's like, well, what about latex condoms? What if you're allergic to latex? Are you going to be allergic to latex condoms?
And the answer is yes.
And the answer is yes. And I was like, well, if you have allergic reactions, there's always a choice of lambskins. It's just not really that preventative against STDs. And he's like, I just don't understand how anybody could use a lambskin. And I was like, it goes on the same. And he was like, yeah, but wouldn't it itch? And I was like, itch? He's like, with all that fur. And I was like, oh.
Okay,
we need to. there's no fur.
Let's enroll one of these things here.
Not lamb hide. Lambskin.
Woody, I think that we just got another one for the blooper reel.
We got a good one. You know, there's another one for the blooper reel here. You ready?
No, Taffa.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to ask.
Where is he?
Taffa's here.
Let's talk. Who is Taffa?
It doesn't matter who Taffa is. I'm Taffa.
Sherry, who's Taffa?
Taffa was born many years ago.
In a swimming pool.
Why is it a swimming pool? I am pretty OCD, and Blue is very ADD, and the two of them lead to lots of...
Other initials?
WTF.
Yes. trying situations. And one day, Taffa was born because I was irritated, and Blue came up with Taffa to make me laugh. It's very hard to stay angry with someone if you're laughing at them.
And Taffa was named how?
I don't know. Taffa didn't have a name.
Taffa did not have a name then. He was very sad. Taffa actually got a name. I don't know how Taffa grew. It was one of those things. It just kind of took on its own weird self. And I was watching the Aflac commercial one day, and Taffa got very interested in the duck. He thought he wanted to fuck the duck.
I want to do with the duck, but they are not consensual.
I know. It would be a form of bestiality to me, I guess, but Taffa, since he's not really a person, it wouldn't be. But anyways, that's a whole different subject.
So you took the quack of the duck, Aflac, and you reversed it.
Correct.
Taffa.
So it's Taffa. It just came up with a name finally. And somebody actually wrote him a profile, and I cannot get to it. I do know who decided to put the profile up, but they didn't give me the password because Taffa he's very shy sometimes. He doesn't come out that often.
I saw him come out yesterday.
Yeah, he comes out sometimes.
The Kinky Cast Lee got attacked by Taffa. And it was good for everyone.
Yes, he does like to have his neck kissed.
Ooh.
I think the first neck kissing was actually by Insatiable Amazon that kissed his, tried to kiss his neck, but it turned out it was not his neck that she was kissing.
Oh.
So we've gone way off the rails here, but sometimes you have to. The two of you, you are so welcome to come here anytime you're in town. You're wonderful people. Before we jump off the path here, you've got some events coming up here.
December is kind of a weird. We actually have the Tradesmen in Charlotte, North Carolina from the Woodshed, and they do their fundraiser is actually for the House of Mercy. They get together every year and do a dinner for them and go over to the House of Mercy, which is a, I hope I'm saying this right. It used to be a place for those infected with HIV and AIDS to go for rehab, potentially pass away there. And it was all based on donations. Some of the tradesmen will have to tell you about that. I would hate to say this wrong, and hopefully maybe they can get in contact with you and let you know a little bit about the House of Mercy and their fundraiser, as Sherry uses the to get the information on her phone.
And
I'm actually looking at our calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's throw the date out when you get it there.
They also do a toy drive that has over the years just become phenomenal. You go to the woodshed, if you bring a toy, you will get a free Jell-O shot or a gummy bear shot, and
those are dangerous.
And they're very dangerous. So definitely, you know, if you're in the Charlotte area in the December, look up the tradesmen and come to their bar night for the toy run. Because last year at the woodshed, there was half of a room filled with toys for children. They actually had, don't quote me, but I think it was like 6 truckloads full to the fire department to bring the toys.
What a wonderful event.
Yeah, and it's gotten bigger. From what I can see, it's gotten bigger every year.
Do you have a date for the tradesman?
I do. The tradesman Christmas fundraiser is December 6th for the House of Mercy.
Great. Well, I hope everybody can get down there.
Right now, our December schedule has not filled up yet. I'm sure that will. We have Christmas. We'll go out of town for a week with family. And in February, we'll be at Southern Bash, which is a women's only event that will take place in Atlanta.
And of course, in June 18th through the 21st, you have the Southeast Leather Fest.
That's right.
In Atlanta.
Blue, you are the coordinator of the title contest?
Correct. I am the contest coordinator for Southeast Leather Fest. So if you know somebody that would be interested in running or you think would represent your club or organization well, and send them on down or let me know.
Let you know.
Yeah, that we have a website, www.seleatherfest.com.
Seleatherfest.com.
Correct. And you can get all the information there, register.
All the forms, and this is a experience that you encourage people to have, even they don't win, just to have the experience.
Correct. And even if you don't run, come and join us. It's like a big family there. There are so many things to do.
And Sherry, will you be back on staff again?
I am actually just became a board member for SELF. I am the social media coordinator. You can find us on Facebook and FetLife. And Twitter, and soon to be coming to Tumblr. Once I figure out how to use Tumblr, we'll be on Tumblr.
Oh, and have you made Pinterest yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. We got the next hurdle, right?
Not yet.
Now, SELF last year did something, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. Your guidebook was digital, was available via smartphone. And that app was very interesting, and it had a ability for the attendees to interact with each other electronically.
Yeah, that app was Yap. It seemed to be very popular. I installed it on my phone, and the entire week in itself, my phone, like, I had to turn off notifications because my phone was blowing up because it's like an internal instant messenger. Everybody that had it could comment back and forth on what they were doing, what
and
classes.
Post pictures.
Post pictures. And it was quite a hit, I think. You could also use the app for the contest. You could vote in different categories of the contest for which person you wanted to win the title. They would open it up and you would cast your vote and you had a say so and who won the contest.
And I like to call that the American Idol model.
That's what I called it. I said, no, it's also an American Idol.
And has a attendee in the audience. I found that very interesting to be able to pick up my phone, type the phone number in, and my vote was cast.
Right. Yes. It definitely brought an aspect to the contest that attendees could be a part of the contest by voting. Now, yet you do have to pre-register to vote on.
To get your phone number registered.
Right, yes. To get your phone number registered. They also, you can participate in the open mic category of the contest and actually ask the contestants questions during that open mic part.
So this is a very attendee-friendly contest.
Correct.
A lot of the contest events are actually open to the attendees to come and watch the judging phase and the questions and the answers and all that.
Right. You're not just sitting there just watching a contest. You actually become part of the contest and being able to put your input into it.
There is one portion of the contest that is not open to the public, and that is the interview with each individual contestant with the judge. They're in a room by themselves with the judges, and they closed the doors and didn't let anybody in.
The running for the titles is a chance to become more familiar with your community, your larger community.
Absolutely. Blue was a title holder in 2010.
Thank you for bringing that up.
And we still travel. He's still invited to other places, and it's a great opportunity to get to go other places and meet other people in different areas of the Southeast or even further.
The whole title holder process carries people into new communities that may not be exposed to the title. Tennessee, where we are right at the moment, do we have a single title contest in the state? I'm not aware of one.
Not in Tennessee that I'm aware of.
In Mississippi?
Anybody? Somebody?
So there's opportunities for several places for people to start their own processes.
Correct. And Southeast Leatherfest is a regional event, so it invites those from these areas
that don't have a contest of their own.
Correct. To come and join the contest.
Sherry, thank you for bringing Blue to visit with us. And thank you for bringing Kalfa. Blue, thank you for coming and being with us. We hope to see you back in Nashville.
Almost definitely. And, I've had a fantastic time.
I was out at the play party last night, and yes, you had a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And your partner she wasn't all there the last time I saw her. She was a happy camper.
She's back now.
But she was a happy camper then, for sure. Nashville would love to have you all back again.
Oh, we don't plan on leaving. We're staying here.
Okay. They moved into the studios.
Yeah.
Yes.
We live right here.
Yes, yes. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Next week, join Kate Kinsey for the Beyond 50 Super Show. Here is an excerpt.
The book that everybody's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey. When it first came out, I could not literally walk down the hall at work that somebody wasn't carrying on a conversation about that book. People were reading it on their lunch hour. People were talking about it out in the smoking area. People were in the elevator having conversations about it. And it was just amazing how widespread popularity of that book went. And I think it says something that a lot of us are looking for more passion, more sensuality. I think it spoke to a lot of people, just the way that Rhett Butler spoke to me way back then. So if you're looking for Christian Grey now, well, I hate to break it to you, but there aren't that many really wealthy, young, well-hung, sexually dominant, and experienced rich men who are also single and don't live with their mothers. That's the bad news. The good news is there is a whole world out there full of people who are interested in these kinds of relationships. And whether you loved 50 Shades or you hated it, I think it's a great thing that people have been exposed to something. And if it opens your mind and your heart to greater exploration towards a more fulfilling sex life, I'm all for it. But now, Beyond 50 is something started by a large group of volunteers, writers, and lovers of erotica who've been doing this a while and actually live this in their own lives, so we know what we're talking about. We've written books for a long time, and Beyond 50 was kind of started when Laura Antoniou, who is one of the greatest erotic writers out there right now, and if you're interested in BDSM and you like that whole dominant submissive thing, you really need to check out
next week's Beyond 50 Super Show. You have been listening to episode 45 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. Next week we have our Beyond 50 Super Show. On behalf of Woody and the Beast, I'm Max.